Well, hey everyone, this week we're brought to you by the Groove Washer. Keep your records clean and your conscience even cleaner with the Groove Washer Record Cleaner. And check out the new Groove Guard record sleeves. Protect your vinyl from stem to post at groovewasher.com. Discount code VINYLGUIDE10. And we're also brought to you today by AudiophileUSA.com, the cleanest used records that ship worldwide. 42,000 records to choose from. Search, dig, and find the deals at AudiophileUSA.com. And with that, on with the show. Oh, well, hey, everyone. Can you believe it's episode 330 of the Vinyl Guide already? Dang, we are rocking up these numbers. I've been doing this podcast for nearly 7 years, which is effectively the half-life of a Tool album cycle. But that's all right. Tool albums are always worth the wait. And recently we learned that the 2019 Fear Inoculum album was finally going to be made available on vinyl through a 5-LP deluxe box set, complete with exquisitely designed artwork, glorious imagery, gorgeous packaging, and heavy duty vinyl. Very few people have gotten their hands on these packages so far, with the bulk of them planned to ship in April. But to prepare our eye holes and ear holes for what we'll experience then, we caught up with Mackie Osborne, who pulled together all the design elements and manufacturing details for the deluxe package on behalf of Adam and Team Tool. She's going to share today all about the process of that vinyl package coming together, the review cycles, the ideas considered but not included, details of the packages that will be new to a lot of people, and even gives a few hints on what's happening in Melvin's vinyl land too. So get yourself a nice hot cup of tea and enjoy this conversation. Oh, and by the way, we have an extended and ad-free version of this interview available on our Patreon page, patreon.com/vinylguide. Supporters of the podcast get treated to all sorts of extra stuff, including extended versions, early access to episodes, even free records sometimes. This week I'm offering flightless vinyl pressings of the new King Gizzard Made in Timeland album. This is the record that was only available at the recent Melbourne King Gizzard show and through Gizverse and flightless for about 10 minutes. I've got some copies that I'm offering to Patreon supporters, so if you're not already a supporter of the show, head up there now, patreon.com/vinylguide, where you get to hear the rest of the show. Oh, and hey, don't forget, we've got a ton of other episodes you may enjoy. Interviews such as episode 199, again with Mackie Osborne, talking Tool and Melvin's vinyl packaging. Also, episode 220 with Tom Hazelmeyer of Amphetamine Reptile Records, talking about all that cool lino-cut vinyl packaging he does. Episode 219 with Matt Cameron of Soundgarden and Pearl Jam. Episode 180 with Trey Spruance of Mr. Bungle. Episode 140 with Wolfgang Fleur of Kraftwerk, episode 127 with James Williamson of Iggy and the Stooges, and a heck of a lot more. Subscribe to the Vinyl Guide for free, scroll through the episodes on your podcast app, and enjoy. All right, enough with the chit-chat. Let's talk Tool with Fear Inoculum vinyl layout, design, and manufacturing guru, Mackie Osborne. Thanks for taking the time to talk again. Last time we talked, Fear Inoculum had just come out on CD with the screen and, you know, very, very unique packaging, and everybody was pretty much, you know, in awe of it. And recently we finally see the vinyl coming out. Uh-huh. It's been a long time coming. At the time, I think you mentioned that the packaging and everything for the vinyl at that time, it was called a box set, was done. Is this that same design from 2 years ago? Very little has changed, or has much evolved from then?
No, that's it. It just, between the delays due to COVID and actually producing vinyl, which was, that was the main delay. Yeah, the art has been done for, I think, like almost a year. Mm-hmm. It took a long time because the vinyl pressing companies are so backed up, and there's way less of them now.
So the design that you had in 2019 or 2020, I think, that was all you had to do is go in there and change the copyright year or a few little things like that. All those images and everything were done 2 years ago.
It might have actually evolved in the last, yeah, it might have evolved after that point. I think that maybe we had started out working with art from Alex Gray and Joyce Sue. And then I think we added in the working with art from Deborah Sheedy, maybe after that point, but it's hard for me. It all was like a blur.
Okay.
The time frame is like hard for me to kind of put back together because it's all, because I mean, nothing changes. Like that was one of the things I kept, you know, like feeling like in the last 2 years, like there's no Monday, Wednesday, Friday, there's no Tuesday. It's just all today. Like, cause nothing changed.
Right.
Normally you have stuff you do on Mondays and stuff you do on Tuesdays, but there was just nothing like that. It was every day the same. So it was just like, what year is it? What month is it? I don't know. Like,
so the delay of vinyl production sounds like it played a pretty heavy role in why we're seeing vinyl now. Had it not been for those delays, we may have had this box set sometime last year, do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the actual vinyl production is what took the longest and what was the biggest problem.
Was there a lot of back and forth, do you know? Test pressings? Yeah, this one doesn't sound great. Remastering? Was there much of that back and forth?
I don't think with the mastering there was problems like that, but there was problems with the etchings.
Oh, okay. They just didn't look right. They just kind of came out kind of
funky. No, they still, yeah. We have done etchings on vinyl with other packages and were able to get a much more pronounced and a deeper groove with the etchings. But for some reason that manufacturer was, I mean, we sent it back several times. And of course it was, you know, like it has to be done now. And they just never got it to the depth that we hoped for. So the etchings are much more delicate than I was hoping for. They're faint. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So I haven't had one in my hands yet. And
yeah, me neither. Actually,
you don't have
them? No, I don't have the actual final thing yet. Oh, yeah, it's okay.
It's in the mail.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Because it actually, when I looked at it, it reminded me of A Senile Animal. That first pressing, you know, with music on one side, etchings on the other, very kind of similar packaging.
Yeah, that we were kind of hoping we could get that kind of depth that we got in the etchings on Senile Animal, but they just couldn't do it for whatever reason. Yeah, they said was, only smaller record pressing plants can do that kind of etching. And I was just like, yeah, whatever. You know, like I somehow doubt that, but.
Okay. Was it only one record pressing plant?
Yeah, it was all done in Czechoslovakia at GZ.
Oh, okay.
So shipping stuff back and forth, it's awesome.
Have you at least heard it yet?
Well, I've heard the music. Yeah, I've heard the record, but yeah, not on vinyl.
Not on vinyl. Okay, so you haven't. I'd just be curious as to whether, do you know if it's 33 or 45 RPM?
It's 33, but it's on super heavy, like the highest quality vinyl that you can get. So that was one of the things that we, decided to make this really fancy package, like with really the highest quality vinyl that is available on the market today. So I'm sure it sounds amazing.
Yeah. Well, I know with Lateralis, there were the picture discs. And of course, with various projects, there's bladder and blob pressings, but for this, it sounds like the focus was for the audiophile, for black vinyl, no frills in that regard, no potential compromises. Is that a fair summary of?
Well, that's where it ended up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were looking into, I can't even remember what it's called, but there's this process that you do where like you shine a strobe light on the disc, and as it moves, it's like animated. So you're looking into that, but that requires a lower quality of vinyl. And so we decided to go with the more audiophile approach, I think partly because I can think that's their audience. This, you know, like they really want that high quality product, both in construction and sound quality.
Absolutely. And I think in some ways Lateralis kind of there were some complaints about the audiophile quality because of the picture disc aspect.
You can't get the same kind of quality from a picture disc that you can from black vinyl. You just can't.
So it sounds like early on, and I'm interested in how the concepts of these packages come together, because Tool has always raised the bar for unique product packaging, and as have Melvins and other bands that you've been involved in. How do these discussions come about? In the early days, Fear Inoculum is kind of working its way through production. You start thinking about vinyl, start thinking about the packaging. How do these ideas come together?
I think usually Adam has a really specific idea of, well, definitely the art that we're going to work with in terms of the, you know, paintings or illustrations, and the painters or illustrators that we're going to work with. So that's kind of where it starts a little bit. And then he always wants to do something that's never been done before. And there's always kind of a focus on the third dimension, and because trying to bring that into a flat product is something that I think they've really, you know, that's a theme. You know, they've started out with the lenticulars and then put to the glasses, and now with the video. So we've just really I think Adam had the idea that he wanted to include the video in there. And so my job is just to make it work, you know, just to find a place that can do it, because that was so outside of what a record label had ever done before or even had the ability to do. So that was kind of what ended up being like, okay, this is the idea. Like, how do we do this? But that was really in place from the very beginning, is that video would be part of it. And then for the LPs, we wanted that to, you know, be as special in a different way. And I just did research, went to a bunch of different places that put together like fancy record packages, and kind of came up with ideas from, you know, just seeing what was possible on that end. Mm-hmm. And also fiscally, like, not too out of reach, because there are some really outlandish things that we saw that would, they were just like, nah, can't, that's too much. And it's not a cheap package. So no.
What are some examples of some of the ideas that were discussed but discarded for one reason or another?
One of my favorite ones that, and maybe we'll do it for another project, was it's kind of like a matchbook, but it has like, it's a box, the records go into it, and then it has a magnet that, you know, the flap closes with a magnet, so that's magnetized on the front and the side. So that was something we kind of looked into. That it just ended up being like, it would have been outrageously expensive. So yeah, that was, I think, the one thing that I was like, oh, someday we should do this, because it's so cool. I think that was the main kind of thing that seemed out of reach. But other than that, like, it's, you know, pretty much the sky's the limit when working with Tool, because they want something really special, and they are, you know, they have the backing to make it happen.
So the magnet idea got discarded. I guess the little animation idea
Yeah.
For the record, that was something else that was considered. I've only seen Adam's video and a few pictures here and there, with no detail. Is there a booklet, or is it the five records in separate kind of big page sleeve type thingies?
Oh, yeah. So each of the records is in a page that has printing on the front and the back. And then before, that's in the back of the book. It's a book. Before that, there's a bunch of pages of art, art and fancy printing, some die cuts. It's very fancy.
Okay.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's like metallic paper, and there's die cuts and foil stamping, and it's a pretty awesome package.
Wow. Would you have to kind of QA from the printers as it comes in? Like, they didn't really line that up. Were you involved in any of that?
Oh yeah, that's what back and forth. FedEx, lots of FedExes back and forth.
From Czechoslovakia. Are they numbered?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. All right. How many is in the first run?
I'm trying to remember. It's not my concern.
So. Right. Okay. All right.
How many you do? Just let me know the art that you need, and I'll provide that. And then just make sure you send me a few.
Yeah, because being in Australia, it was announced in the middle of our night. And by the time I woke up, it was gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's great. I mean, sorry, but that was the idea, you know, like that's exactly what we want to happen. I'm sure there will be people out there who bought 50 of them that will sell you one.
Yeah. So, yeah. For a car payment. So in terms of the ideation of some of these projects, you said Adam tends to come with this vision. Are you guys in a constant state of just kind of sending ideas back and forth? Oh, here's a package I found here. Here's what the manufacturer said they may be able to do. Is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're able to contribute quite a lot to that process and that finished idea.
Yeah, that's kind of the part that I really am responsible for, is finding ways to make it work and finding what's possible, and just, you know, finding pricing and who can do it, and, you know, making sure that we're not getting ripped off, you know, just that's kind of a big part of my job.
It seems to me that this release, I mean, we all kind of knew it would come out on vinyl at some point, you know, or at least we're hoping it would, you know, as with the rest of the catalog. But this really just snuck out of nowhere. There seems to have been a very much a secrecy around it. You always see these sort of leaks and pictures, and they can't keep a lid on things, but this just kind of came out of nowhere. How difficult is it keeping secrets around this sort of manufacturing?
We'll be back after these messages.
Hey everyone, let me tell you about AudiophileUSA.com. AudiophileUSA.com is a fantastic place to buy used records online. AudiophileUSA.com has a heap of inventory, like tens of thousands of records you could search through online, and they are all excellent and near mint quality. These are your final upgrades, beautiful records that you can enjoy for years to come. AudiophileUSA.com is a family-owned and operated business, and they work hard to find the absolute cleanest records in the world and make them available to you. Head up there now, AudiophileUSA.com, search and dig through their selection and find the deals. Get a box of love on its way to you now from AudiophileUSA.com. Now, I know that you know that the Groove Washer is the best record cleaner in the world, but did you know that Groove Washer now makes archival quality record sleeves too? Yep. the world's best record cleaner is now making some fantastic sleeves and record accessories for a limited time introductory offer. The Groove Washer Groove Guard record sleeves are absolutely fantastic, so head up there now and try them for yourself. Go to groovewasher.com and use discount code VINYLGUIDE10. That's the Groove Washer record cleaners, record sleeves, and other protection for your record collection. That's groovewasher.com.
Now we return to the program, already in progress.
No limits. How difficult is it keeping secrets around this sort of manufacturing?
I think it's really hard, but because in the past that's been a problem. But it's something that's really frustrating for everybody that's, you know, putting out records, to have it, you know, send it to the printer, and then, you know, before it's actually, you know, on the shelf, it's out there. But they have, you know, worked on every level with, you know, every different place that has their hands on it to really make sure that you know, they have all these contingencies in place so that won't happen. Because, you know, when you go to that much trouble and that much expense to put something that fabulous together, you know, like, you don't want to then like see it somewhere else before you've had it out on the market, right? Which happens.
So yeah, so you have to choose your partners very carefully.
Yeah. And like, a lot of the like the pre work of like getting estimates and stuff like that, like, we don't say who it's for. I don't send them the actual art. They don't get a seat. Even the label didn't even get the art until the very last minute. Just because they don't want that to happen. So
There's the story of when Star Wars went to make the sequel of it back in the late 70s, 80s, because everyone knew of the success of Star Wars. When they went to get quotes, they created a whole fake movie. So people weren't gouging them because, oh, it's a Star Wars sequel, we can charge whatever we want.
Yeah, we kind of do that.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's part of like how, like, it helps to have me as an independent contractor approaching these companies rather than RCA, because they, you know, they don't put it together that like, oh, this is a Deep Pockets project. So hopefully we get more realistic pricing, or you know, something that's not padded. And you know, also that way it's, you know, kind of protected from padding on in a lot of the different levels where things get added on.
Did any leaks come out? Was there anything that you were, oh my God, this just came out, or this picture? And do you recall anything coming out in advance?
I don't think anything did. I don't know. I don't think, as far as I know, it really like made it to the finish line without any major leaks. So
that's gotta be surprising.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what you aim for. It does. It's a lot of times it doesn't happen, but yeah, it seems like all of the safeguards have really worked this time.
On the back of the CD deluxe package, there were different designs in varying numbers. I think there were some that were really popular, some that were really rare.
Yeah.
Does the vinyl package have something like that in there?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Each one's the same.
Yeah, they're all the same. There's not that many, but they're all the same. Yeah.
And I know you probably can't answer this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is there going to be a different version of the album on vinyl?
Well, you never know. I mean, there's plans to now go back and re-release all of the back catalog on vinyl. And so this will be, you know, part of that. At some point, we'll see. Yeah.
Okay. It's out there in the future. It's just, how close is it
we have been actually talking about that, something, you know, they're talking about those projects happening. So hopefully that will happen.
Yeah, it's on tool time. Hopefully it's within our lifetime.
I mean, one of their, I can't remember which one it is, has never even been released on vinyl. So
a few.
So it hasn't been mastered. It hasn't been released. So hopefully that will happen. I don't know if it's 10,000 days, maybe.
10,000 days hasn't, actually Salival hasn't.
Salival. Oh yeah. So that was the whole thing, but yeah. So Salival and 10,000 days both would be, you know, a project that might be appearing at some point.
Well, let's talk about that. Cause Salival, I now have a new pronunciation of it. Salival and Lateralis to me always seemed very related. I mean, they packaging wise, they both had that Mylar sleeve. They both introduced very unique booklets. Am I stretching it to think of them as somewhat companion pieces?
I don't think in terms of the art, I don't think they're really related, because it was Cam did the Salival art, mm-hmm. Cam DeLeon, and then Alex Gray did the art for Lateralis. And the layered Mylars. I mean, maybe the actual material that they're mm-hmm. made with is related, but that's more of the, I think that's a theme that runs through all of Tool's packaging, is that looking for ways to like bring more dimensions into this flat world. So with the, you know, like Salival had that like outer sleeve that was that kind of cloudy polyvinyl material with printing on that, and then but that's kind of just more, it's more in the line of their fascination with the three dimensions, I think.
Mm-hmm. I guess maybe thinking about a better way to put it. Those two pieces, one represents to me kind of an end of a first chapter and the beginning of a new one. And that's, I've always seen those two going together, because the packaging has, it seems to me that they complement one another, but
yeah.
One does seem like a door closing and the other is another one opening.
Definitely door closing on Cam DeLeon, opening a door on Alex Gray.
Yeah. Yeah. Who did the artwork on the cover of the Fear Inoculum vinyl set? That's a new image. Whose was that?
That's Deborah Sheedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know if there's like the meaning of putting those images together?
Of which? Of like, Deborah's work with Alex's work or with Joyce's work?
Yeah. Well, it's I mean, they're beautiful images.
Yeah.
I guess I'm trying to think about, okay, what does this have to do with maybe material? How does it relate with the record? Or is it just this spectacular image that they're coupling with the record?
I would say it's more of, I think that the imagery is kind of conveying similar aspects of a view of just like aesthetics. There definitely is a theme in like across all of their packaging that is a really consistent aesthetic. So Adam discovered Deborah Sheedy on Instagram and contacted her. He really liked her work, and so we talked to her and she was totally down. She made stuff like super fast because it just was a kind of a last minute thing, and it was really great working with her. But yeah, I think it is really just like, I would say that the artistic interpretations of, you know, most of the Tool stuff comes, it's really, it's more emotional than intellectual. it's more intuitive than intellectual. So it's just like, you know, something that attracts Adam visually, and that's how the art happens, rather than, you know, some kind of intellectual idea.
What was the artwork done, that Debussy piece done 2 years ago when the album was complete? Or was that somewhat a new addition?
That happened after the CD. So when we started working on the art for the vinyl, we didn't even have that yet. And that just happened really kind of towards the end of the process. It really kind of fell together at the last minute.
Right. Okay. So that's interesting. He's got an image that he was inspired by to use a year plus after the music was complete.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So going through the booklet, again, I haven't seen one, put my hands on it. Are there lyrics? Are there,
yes,
the text around it? Okay. All right.
There's lyrics and credits, obviously. And that's the only text. And there's the imagery. Yeah, it's image heavy.
And knowing Tool has their own set of rules and tricks, and nothing is always as it seems, are there Easter eggs that we can expect in this package?
Not in the LP, I would say. No, there's not really.
Okay.
It's just fancy.
It looks fancy. It looks heavy, too.
It is heavy. It's heavy. It's a really exquisite package.
Maybe that's why they announced it when Australia couldn't order, because they'd have to ship all those things over here.
Yeah. But the shipping became a huge issue with some countries.
Right. Now, I know with some box sets, I've got the Mars Volta box set and some of the Blue Note ones.
I see a Melvin's box set back there.
Oh, yeah. That I actually had to, I had, that doesn't fit in the shelves.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So big, I had to put it.
Big book box.
Yeah. But it's art there. It's art, so it's fine. Beautiful.
Yeah.
But shipping these things, as you know, is a pain in the backside. Is there any special cushioning or anything that they had to design, that you had to design or consider for shipping these?
We talked about it and then ended up deciding probably better to just ship it in a generic box if they're being shipped individually, because you don't want somebody like, oh, Tool, yoink, like, because that's happening a lot with things getting shipped. So we ended up just deciding to have it be, you know, a plain box that this thing goes into.
Okay. Nondescript.
Yeah.
The vinyl was announced, I think, in the same couple days as Opiate Squared.
Uh-huh.
Do you know if that was planned, or is just now vinyl's finally ready?
Yeah, that's it.
Might as well do them both. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. It's like the thing is done. Get it out there.
Okay.
All right. And plus they're on tour. So that, you know, it's like you sell more stuff when the band's on tour.
Yeah.
So get it out there.
It's we're so long in these Tool cycles. Everyone's just kind of waiting for these announcements. And then all of a sudden, two hit on one day. So it just seemed very, very, very strange. So can we talk about Opiate Squared? The song just came out now.
Uh-huh.
That packaging, I'm assuming that was something that was also in the works for some time?
Yeah, that was done a long time ago. Okay. Not sure why it took so long to get it out. Maybe there was something to do with production and then also timing that they would be on tour when it came out. I'm not sure. It's definitely part of what the art for that, I think, is some of that is not for the packaging, but for the video is maybe some of the stuff that they have in their you know, like their big screens.
Oh, the live show, the background. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I think.
Did Dominic make a lot of that art that's behind them
yeah.
on tour?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if he makes, I don't know if he's made the stuff that they have behind them, the videos that they have behind them. I'm not really sure who all has worked on that, but I know he's done a lot of work for them. They have also, worked with some other video people. Mm-hmm.
Opiate has been revisited twice now, with the 21st and now with Opiate Squared. It's a little confusing as a fan. They keep revisiting this one section of their career.
Yeah.
Do you have any insight as to why that may be?
No, I have no idea. Well, I mean, it's a great song. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but, it's always relevant.
Yeah, but they have a lot of great songs. So I'm not exactly sure. Maybe it's a permission thing or just because it's popular.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really know that.
And with other projects you're on, non-Tool, anything you can share or discuss in Melvin's land or other?
Melvin's. Lots of Melvin's. I was just downstairs working on the letterpress printing of some Melvin stuff. They're putting out re-releasing four more records. They put out I think it's a Tres Cabrones and I'm trying to remember.
Everyone Loves Sandwiches? Or Everyone Loves Sausages?
Oh, no, not that one. It's Tres Cabrones.
Freak Cube?
No, they have so many records, but that was so... No, Buzz just texted me. I can tell you which ones they are. Oh, Bulls and the Bees and Electro Retard and Houdini Live and Tres Cabrones those are coming out, being re-released. You know, they just released the four record acoustic record called Five-Legged Dog.
Yeah.
So that's out, and then we'll do some letterpress versions of that and some letterpress versions of these new records. And I'm working on letterpress covers for Glued Porch Treatments because we have those just came out, and Hustle Ambient Takeover, Senile Animal, and Nude with Boots.
Yeah, because they're going on tour with Ministry, so yeah, I'm imagining
tour starts tomorrow. Yeah,
so I'm imagining a lot of these letterpress ones will be at the merch booth.
No, they're not taking it. No, the just isn't like it's not their merch guy. So they, they're just bringing one T-shirt. Yeah. So they're doing two tours on their own after this. Mm-hmm. So they'll bring all that stuff then. But yeah, the lack of control of having somebody else's merch person sell their merch is not appealing to them with so many different kinds of special packages. I just decided to keep it simple.
Is there anything else you want to share, Mackie? I know you've been very generous with your time and information here. Is there anything the vinyl listeners would be eager to hear? Anything you'd like to share about what's coming up?
I mean, definitely the Melvins have a bunch of stuff coming out, re-releases.
Well, cool. And any art shows coming up? I think last time we talked, you were getting ready for Inky Psyops. Anything like that in the future?
I don't know. Maybe I haven't really. That hasn't been an option, right?
Yeah.
It may start to become options. We'll see. I mean, they're on. The Melvins are on tour. Tool's on tour. So maybe we'll start having gallery openings again and start doing that kind of thing. But that's not really. It's not been my main kind of outlet for work. I've done a few of those, but yeah, not a lot.
So Mackie, thank you so much for coming on the show. Everyone who's listening is, vinyl maniacs and we can't get enough of this information, especially on bands like Tool and Melvins and that sort of music that we love. So I do want to remind folks, as if you don't know, the Tool Deluxe, Uber Deluxe vinyl version. I don't even know what the package is called. Is it
the, it's the Deluxe package, Deluxe LP.
Also Opiate Squared. The song is out now. The package is orderable. Any place fine records are sold or stolen. And of course, we can always visit Mackie and see what she's up to at MackieOsborne.com. Mackie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Oh, that was fantabulous. I love it when she comes on. Again, if you want to hear more Mackie, you could always go to episode 199 when she was on the show, when Fear Inoculum originally came out, and she talks about that digital CD package and other stuff as well. And just a reminder, we've got an extended version of this episode available to our Patreon supporters, patreon.com/vinylguide. Go up there now, support the show, buy me a burrito, and enjoy all the extras. And that's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please share these episodes on your social media. Tweet them out on Twitter, share them on Facebook, or better yet, keep it analog and show your record collector friends how they can subscribe to The Vinyl Guide podcast on that phone of theirs. I'll be the first to admit podcasts are not an easy thing to get down. So show your friends a bit of charity and teach them how they can subscribe and enjoy The Vinyl Guide podcast. We'll be back shortly with a brand new episode. So until we talk next time, get out there and buy some records, people. Cheers.
That's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Send your thoughts to Nate@thevinylguide.com or follow or tag us on Instagram @vinylguide. Until next time, keep spinning.